Have you ever had those days where it just seems like nothing went right? It started off maybe as a good day, and then all of a sudden, what happens in your life is what I call the little erosion deals, where all of a sudden there's some criticism or there's some other things, and it really just sucks the life out of your day. I call those vipers. And today we want to take a look at a passage out of Acts chapter 28. As we take a look at Paul's journey to Rome. And today we're going to talk about our Bible study as in shaking off the vipers. All of us have those in our lives. So grab your Bible, come on back, turn it to Acts 28, and I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust and I pray that you have had a very good week. And that your day is just filled with joy and sunshine. I know that some of y'all said, man, you haven't been around my life this week so far. Well, that's one of the things that we want to talk about a little bit today, about what are the vipers in your life. Most of us know what vipers are. Around the South, we call them snakes, but you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that. And we want to look at a passage of Scripture today in reference to those vipers and how one of our most famous preachers handled those little erosion deals in his life. And that could be just a teaching moment for you and I as we walk with the Lord each and every day of our life. So let's look at our text. Our text today is Acts chapter 28, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. So Acts chapter 28, beginning with verse 1, it says, and when they had escaped, they turned... They then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Verse 3, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they looked for a long time and saw no harm had come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we just ask for your leadership and your guidance. Lord, we pray that as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, Lord, that we might just glean from you every ounce of wisdom and knowledge that we can. But Lord, more than just gleaning the wisdom and knowledge, we pray that you will help us to make application to our lives the things that we will learn during this time that we gather around your word today. Father, as always, I ask that you would use me as your messenger for these moments, that you and you alone would truly be high and lifted up. May you work in the hearts and lives of those, your children, and those who listen today, as Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're kind of picking up this story at an interesting place. Now, you have to understand that Paul essentially was on a journey to Rome. Now, think about that for a minute. Now, if you already know the context of this passage, you're going to realize you're sitting there going, yeah, he was on a journey, all right. Well, the reason why Paul was on this journey to Rome was that he was on that journey as a prisoner. He was on a ship. They were on their way to Rome, and he was a prisoner. And they were having all kinds of trouble with bad weather, with the storms. They were afraid they were going to die. They were afraid that the ship was going to sink. And yet, along the way, there were still many trials that awaited Paul when he would arrive in Rome. Now, this is what I call a speed bump, and you're going to hear me mention that a few times throughout today's Bible study. Each and every one of us in our lives, we have what I term speed bumps. Things that are designed to slow us down, or things that make us slow down to either get our attention or to keep us from getting into some hazardous place. Most of you, if you're like I am, you really don't like speed bumps. You'd like to keep on going with the accelerator down and not have to slow down, but you know that if you don't slow down, you're going to tear your car up or you're going to have all kinds of issues. down the highway. So Paul was encountering some speed bumps on his journey to Rome, even though there were still many trials that would await him. Now, what had happened, well, like I say, he was on that ship and he was on his way there, and essentially he was shipwrecked. And Paul, in the midst of that, in the previous chapter from our text, actually Acts chapter 27, Paul had been comforted by an angel in the midst of the storm. Now, most of you all, if you've ever been through some storms and some trials in your life, whether it's a physical storm or whether they're the storms of life that come your way, you understand the validity of being comforted by the Holy Spirit in your life when those things are taking place. When you're whether you're afraid, you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know what's going to take place, you don't know where to turn, and yet you get that peace, the true peace that only can come from the Holy Spirit, that He is actively involved in your life, that He knows everything that's taking place and knows what's going on. Well, Paul experienced this comfort, and this for him was by an angel in the midst of the storm. And if you want a reference for that, and I want to encourage you, go back to Acts chapter 27 and verses 22 through 25. We'll talk about that instance that we just mentioned, okay? So essentially, they were shipwrecked and they were stranded on an island. But the interesting part is that all of them were still alive. Like I say, this was a boatload of prisoners that essentially were on their way to Rome. So even in the midst of the shipwreck, all of them were alive, and they were met by some kind natives. You know, some people who may have seen what was taking place, may have seen what was going on. They may have gotten off of the ship and swam to shore. And you can imagine what that was like. According to our text, it says that it was raining. It was probably cold. And one of the things that they were going to do is they were going to build a fire so that they could warm up and maybe dry out a little bit along the way. So there were some kind natives that met them as they came ashore, and there was a warm fire that was in the process of being built, and then all of a sudden what happens is trouble comes ahead. So I can imagine, Paul, he's around the fire, he's trying to work on that to get it going, not only for himself but also for the other prisoners, but it says that there was this viper or a snake that comes out of the fire, and it essentially attacks Paul. Vipers are often going to appear out of the fires of life. Now, you know what I'm talking about. If you've spent any time on this earth whatsoever, you understand that that even if you're in the midst of calm in your life, there's a storm right around the corner. There are fires that need to be put out. It's funny how we use that expression so often. It's like you might say to somebody, well, how you doing today? Well, I've just been putting out fires. You know that those fires are coming along in life and that they're going to be in some way, shape, form, or fashion destructive to you, your lifestyle, or people in your life that you love. Times of trouble are things that make us vulnerable. I can't tell you how many times over the years that when those times of trouble come in the hearts and the lives of some people, particularly those who are professing Christians and as they follow the Lord, they make you very vulnerable to Satan's attacks in many, many ways. You know, Satan is always going to try to attack you, and he's not going to be helping you up when you're down. He's the one that's going to try to kick you when you're down. So when times of trouble come, there are often times that we've thought before, well, I've cried out to God. Where is God? Why is He not answering my prayers? Why am I in this circumstance or in this situation? But to each and every one of us, when we go through those troubled times, even though there's vulnerability, we need to know who we can wrap our arms around and who will wrap their arms around us. That is our Heavenly Father. And He has a plan for all those things that are going to take place in our lives. God has a promise for the fiery times. Yeah, he's given us promises. But what is it He said? And I'll just to remind you of a couple of them. One of them is He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so in the midst of your fiery trial, God is right there in the middle of it. I often think about the story that's been preached many, many times over the years of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they were thrown into that fiery furnace. And as the king looked in there, he said, didn't we throw three in there? And they confirmed it. Yeah, we put three in this fiery furnace. And he said, but yet I see four walking around, and the fourth looks like the Son of Man. So, folks, let me tell you, in the midst of your fiery trials, God is right there in the middle of them. You need to look to see where He is, because I will promise you that he's not far away. So anyway, as Paul is working on this fire to, you know, maybe warm up and dry out a little bit, there was a serpent or a viper in there that comes out, and it's interesting because it says that it bit Paul, but it says it was attached to his arm or to his hand or wherever it was that bit him. And there were those that were the natives that had kind of welcomed them in, that they were watching what was going on. They were watching what was taking place. And I can imagine that based on the reaction that we see in God's word from them, they knew that this was a poisonous viper. They knew that there was very little chance of survival. And so, matter of fact, because of that, they went ahead and made a judgment toward Paul. You know, when they saw that, it said they saw that viper hanging on his arm or hand or wherever it bit him, and then Paul shook it off in the fire. They made an assumption. They said, oh, well, you know what? This guy, being Paul, survived the shipwreck, but yet he hasn't outrun the judgment for whatever his crime must be, and he's probably a murderer. That was what they were saying in the text. They said, even though this person who's probably a murderer outran justice and lived from the storm and the shipwreck, he's going to die because of the justice of God right here. So then what they did was they did what most of us would do. They sat back and they began to watch. They said, let's see what's going to happen to this guy named Paul. He's been bitten by this serpent. You know, you didn't see him over there trying to tourniquet off on his arm or trying to suck the poison out or what have you. And evidently, this was one of those vipers that was so poisonous that it wasn't going to take very long for there to be some effects that would be seen in Paul's life. But they watched him, and they said, we're going to see if he's going to swell up or if he's going to fall out. Now, folks, I know that almost sounds like something comical, but that is what our text actually says. But Paul just shook that viper off when he was attacked. And here's the thing. We should do the same thing. There are going to be vipers in your life, and they're going to bite you. They're going to attack you. And what you have to do is you have to learn to shake them off. And as I thought about that, I thought about a song that was popular. It was a pop song that was recent, fairly recent, that was popular. It was called Shake It Off. And how many times I know growing up, you know, playing ball, if I was playing baseball and I got hit, you know, it was hurting, the coach would say, all right, shake it off. You know, in other words, you know, don't let it hold you down. Don't let it bring you to a point that you're not going to continue on. Same thing, whether it was baseball or football or whatever, they'd say, all right, okay, shake it off and get back in there. Okay, so what are some of the vipers that you and I deal with today, and often on a daily basis? Let me carry you back over in our text to verse 3, and let's see what verse 3 says. It says, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and he laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of that heat and fastened onto his hand. Okay, we need to shake off the viper of discouragement. That's something that comes in our lives, and like I said a moment ago, almost on a daily basis. You know, Paul was attacked while he was helping, while he was doing good. And I can't tell you how many people have sat back and said, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I was doing something good for somebody and I got attacked for that, or I was trying to do what was right. Or it seems like every time I try to do better, you know, I get attacked in some way. And folks, that can be very discouraging in the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. Nobody likes, you know, being attacked by anybody. And let me make you this promise. Satan knows where your weak spots are. And like the old expression says, he knows where the chinks in your armor are. And that is exactly where he's going to beat on them. He wants to try to discourage you from whatever it is, whether it's your goals, your dreams. He definitely wants to discourage you from being the godly person that God intended you to be. Now, you got to remember, Paul wasn't out there doing something bad. He was just going about his daily life. He was trying to do something that was going to be helpful, not only to him, but also to other people. He's trying to get that fire going so people could warm up and dry out. He was gathering up, you know, a bundle of sticks for the fire. And vipers will often appear when we're doing what is good and we're doing what is right. So just remember that. Take that to the bank. Just because you're doing what's good or right is not going to give you immunity from discouragement that Satan and the world is going to try to throw at you. You see, Paul could have allowed this attack to make him doubt. You know, he could have been that guy who, like us, very often would sit back and say, you know what? I'm throwing my hands up. I just give up because it seems like everything I try to do just doesn't work out. All I was trying to do was be helpful, and the next thing you know, here I am getting bit by a snake, and all of a sudden it's God's fault. You know, God. Yeah, if God knows everything and knows what's going on, why is this happening to me? You have probably been there if you've walked with the Lord for any amount of time. You've probably asked those questions to yourself, or maybe you've even asked them to God. And you're sitting back going, I'm just trying to do what's good and what's right, and yet I keep running into these attacks, and it is very discouraging. It makes you want to just throw your hands up and sit down. And Paul could have allowed this attack to make him doubt who God was, but yet he didn't. He didn't allow this to be the stumbling block for Satan to use in his life to keep him from being everything that God wanted him to be. Instead, the word tells us that what he did was he shook off the viper. And how did he do that? He shook that viper off, and he was remembering God's promise of safety. Remember, we said that a moment ago. We said in the previous chapter, God said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to look after you. Everything is going to be good. It's all going to be okay. Now, the thing about it is, have you and I been in prayer enough? Has God given us the promise of safety along the way? If he has, then I will make you the promise. You can take it to the bank that you're going to be invincible until God is done with you, okay? Now, I'm not by any stretch of the imagination telling you to go out there and play with poisonous snakes or jump out in the midst of traffic. There's also stupidity that can create problems as well. But you follow the Lord, you listen to what he says, but when he gives you his promises in his word, when he gives you his promises in your prayer life, then you can take those to the bank. And you know, if that was you, let me ask you this question. If that was you and you had gotten bit by a poisonous snake, what would you have said to yourself? What would your reaction have been? You know, would you have been sitting there going, I know the first and foremost, we just said, well, hey, I got to get to a hospital. I got to get checked on. And I'm not saying that that's not what you should do. But the bottom line is, you know, Paul didn't have that back in that day. He wasn't going to be able to call 911 and have an ambulance carry him off to the hospital. But yet, he didn't feel like he needed it because he was going to trust God. God had specifically said, I'm going to take care of you. I am going to provide safety for you, and you don't have to worry about anything. And that's what he did. Paul just kind of went on about his life. He went on about what he was doing, shook that snake off in the fire, and then probably gathered up some more firewood, piled it up on the fire. I mean, he might have at some point looked and said, yeah, that's where I got bit by that snake. It's a little bit tender. How are you allowing the things in your life, the vipers of your life, to affect you right here and right now? What is going on in your life? Let the Holy Spirit reveal that to you, even in the midst of this Bible study. And you and I need to let God's promises deliver us from what it is that we're in the midst of. You need to shake off the discouragement. Folks, I can tell you right now that I see more people discouraged in our society today than I have ever seen in my life at any given time. And unfortunately, that has extended down to the Christian people. We should be the happiest people in the world, or should I say the most joyous people in the world. That doesn't mean that everything in your life is going perfect. That doesn't mean everything in your life is going right. But remember what the Word tells us. The Word of God tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you want strength for that journey, then you need to be finding your joy in the Lord, the one who is your maker, the one who is your sustainer, the one who is your keeper, the one who will walk with you on the journey every step of the way. And folks, don't allow the things that take place in your life to become discouragements to you to the point that you just decide to throw your hands up and sit down. Let God's promises be the thing that delivers you, because he's given them to us in his word. He has made those promises, and I can tell you right now, you can take them to the bank. So discouragement is one of the vipers that we have to deal with continually, and in a lot of cases, on a daily basis. Well, what is another one of the vipers that we need to shake off in our life? Criticism is yet another. Look with me at our text, which is Acts chapter 28 and verse 4. And it says this, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. So what was the reaction of the critics? Now, I will make you a promise. No matter what status you are in life, you have critics. There are people that are watching everything that you do. They're watching how you do it. And I'll tell you, the world is full of critics who are going to criticize you for what you do, how you do, when you do, why you do. They're going to be there. So what was the reaction to Paul's critics? You know, notice what they said. They said, no doubt this man is a murderer. They already jumped to the conclusion that Paul was a bad guy, and that the reason he was in the midst of the circumstances that he was in was because it was God's judgment upon his life. Now, let me ask you this. Is that the case with Paul? Was that God's judgment on Paul for some wrongdoing along the way? The answer to that question is emphatically no. But yet, that was what the critics saw. They looked at him and said, oh, well, you know, even though he escaped the sea. I love how it starts off. It says, this guy must be a murderer. They just flat out said it. He must be a murderer. And even though he escaped the shipwreck, he can't outrun justice. And that's the reason why he was bitten by this poisonous viper. Notice what it said. No doubt this man is a murderer. And I like how it says that. No doubt. They already said that this is law. That guy's a murderer. Folks, there are critics in your life that are going to be critical of everything that you do. And many are quick to judge and falsely accuse. Now, I want to ask you this question at this point. Are you one of those people? Are you one who is quick to judge? Are you one who is quick to falsely accuse somebody in the midst of what's taking place or in the midst of what's going on? You know what? Then I'm going to ask that to you in a different way. Maybe it's not you that is the false accuser, but maybe it's you that is being falsely accused. Are you being wrongly judged or falsely accused in your daily life, or particularly today, you going through that time? You see, the thing that you want to do more than anything is you want to protect and defend yourself. That's the first thing we want to do. Listen, you're not the first to endure this kind of trial. Jesus went through it. Paul went through it. I'd be willing to say just about all God's children go through it at least at some point. I said that to somebody one time and they said this. They said, well, I'd be okay if it was just at one point, but the problem is it's not just at one point. It's every single day of my life. Well, folks, I will tell you this. If that's the case, God's got something big and special planned for you, and Satan just doesn't want it to happen, okay? You're not the first one to endure these kind of trials. You just keep hanging in there. You keep studying his word. You keep praying, and you keep trusting him no matter what, and he will deliver you in the midst of the crisis. See, Jesus was constantly criticized. Everywhere he went, he was criticized. Now, I would say that most of you would agree. I've asked this question around before, and I've asked people who are born-again, Bible-believing Christians. I'll say, well, do you believe that Jesus was perfect? And they say, oh, yes. Do you believe Jesus was sinless? Oh, yeah, Jesus was sinless, and that's what made him perfect. I said, do you believe Jesus was criticized? And 100% of the time, people say, well, yeah, he was criticized. Even though he was doing good, he was criticized about every time he turned around. And I will sit back and say to you, if Jesus, who was perfect, and you and I aren't, was criticized every step of the way, what makes us think we're not going to be criticized? Well, the reason you shouldn't think that is because we are. We're going to be criticized simply because we're believers in Christ. In fact, in part of his criticism in Matthew, or one of his criticisms in Matthew chapter 9, verse 3, he was called a blasphemer. Okay, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 34, he was accused of being in cahoots with Satan. I mean, could you imagine that? What Jesus did, how he walked, and he was perfect, and yet there were accusations that flew about him everywhere that he went. You know, remember how Jesus responded to his critics, and I think this is key. Since we're talking about critics and since we're talking about criticism, how did Jesus respond to his critics? Well, I'm going to give you a verse. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, and it says this. Here's how Jesus responded. It said, who, when he was reviled, this being Jesus, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So did you get that? It wasn't about Jesus going back and forth and saying, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get even with you. No, that wasn't what he did. That wasn't the way he worked. It says when he was reviled or people came up against him, it said he did not revile or go back against them in return. So he had accusations flying all over the place, and yet He did not didn't try to say, hey, well, look, I'm going to get even with you. He didn't do those type of things. That's how he responded to his critics. So you and I need to shake off the viper of criticism, and we can do that by looking to Jesus. Just jot this down. I won't take you there for the sake of time, but Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 address exactly that. Shaking off the viper of criticism by simply looking to Jesus. You know, I can't tell you how many times I sat back and said, well, you know what? I'm going through this tough, tough time. And then I think about what Jesus went through for me. And I think he was perfect and he didn't deserve it. And yet I do. So, you know, that helps us get through the circumstances and situations, particularly of criticism. Nobody likes criticism, folks. You know, when you criticize somebody, it'll hurt them. It'll hurt their feelings. It'll hurt their constitution. And yet what happens is that we seem to be really good in this day and age at criticizing people. You know, you want to see some good and you want to see something change in somebody, encourage them. Stop the criticism. And unfortunately, Christian people are some of the worst at being critics and the use of criticism in and about those that are around them, even with other Christian people and non-Christian people. So we need to stop that. You know, one of the vipers that you and I face today and daily is criticism. You don't like it when people criticize you. Don't be guilty of criticizing others. So finally, one of the things that we want to realize too is that we need to shake off the viper of low expectations. Now, let me carry you to verse 6 in our text. And it says, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Yet the natives expected Paul to swell up and die. And it was almost like they were just going to sit there and watch this spectacle. You know, they were sitting there going, hey, look, we saw what happened. Let's keep an eye on this dude. Let's see if his hand starts to swell up like to the size of a football. Let's just see if he's just going to fall over dead, or let's see how long it's going to take him to die, because in their minds, they already had him set up for dead because he was bitten by this particular poisonous type serpent. Okay? Remember what I said, we have to shake off the viper of low expectations. Some have low expectations of you as a Christian. They think that you're going to stumble and fall. They're waiting for you to backslide just so they can simply say, oh, well, that's what the Christian people do, and that's how that works, and that's how that happens. Now, I'm not saying that you and I don't make mistakes, because we certainly do. We do stumble. We do fall. You know, we do backslide. But the bottom line is simply this. Through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, we also have the opportunity for forgiveness through repentance. And that is what sets us aside from other folks. We are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. So you need to shake off the faithless conclusions of other people. Yeah, I've said many, many times and a lot here lately, particularly around our church, is I said there's one advantage that I have noted in getting older. And that is this, that the older I get, the less I really care about what other people think about me, especially when I am doing the right things. Now, that doesn't mean I don't listen to people and I don't evaluate what they say, but I don't let it bother me like I used to. And I know that there are a lot of people today who still, the people pleasers are really bad about this, letting what other people say about them bother them. You need to shake off the viper of the faithless conclusions of other people about who you are. Prove them wrong by being faithful to your Lord. Prove them wrong by not turning your back on him. Prove them wrong by running to him instead of running away from them. And then by doing so, you will be an example of a child of the King. You will be an example of God's forgiveness through repentance. You will be an example of the reality that is the Lord in your life. Can you do that? There are vipers that we have. There's the viper of discouragement. There's the viper of criticism. And there's the viper of low expectations. Now, I'll tell you this. There are many other vipers that you and I face often on a daily basis. But here are just a few that have been critical in being stumbling blocks for a Christian as they try to go forward in their faith. Can you not allow those things to be tools used by the devil in your life to pull you away from our Lord and Savior. Folks, the bottom line is that Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And we can have a daily victory in spite of the opposition that comes to us and that comes into our lives. You see, the Holy Spirit has equipped us to win. Plain and simple, we have every tool that we need to win over these poisonous vipers that are trying to bring our life down. Can you shake off those vipers and experience the joy of the Lord? And that's exactly what we need to do. Now, first of all, as always, I want to ask you this question. Do you have a personal relationship with a holy God through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? Has there been that time when you have said, Lord Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner, and I realize that You paid my sin's price on Calvary's cross, and through the resurrection, I can live forever with You. I can have eternal life in the place that You've gone to prepare for me called heaven. Listen, if you've never done that, then today I beg you right where you are just to simply bow your head in prayer, close your eyes and say, Lord, today I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Please forgive my sin, come into my life and save my soul. Now, Father, help me to live as one of Your children in a way that's pleasing to You. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. And folks, let me make you the promise. If you did that, then He heard your prayer. But that's just the beginning. You have just begun the relationship with the Father. Now it's time to grow in grace and to grow in strength and to grow in His Word by being a student of His. And listen, this Bible is a living Word. It is active in your life where you are. It addresses your circumstances. It addresses your situations right where you are today. And if you do it right, it's a great, great journey. It's not boring. I want to encourage you, if you trusted Christ today, please contact us through the website. We want to get you some information that will help you in your walk with the Lord, that you might become a true disciple of His. And as always, we invite you to come be a part of a lot of the things that we have going on in the way of discipleship here at Central Baptist Church, particularly if you're in this area. We would certainly love to have you come and visit and worship with us and be a part of discipleship that takes place on many levels around our church. And I'll mention those in just a few moments. But would you do that? Folks, I'm going to have a word of prayer for us here in just a second, but I also want to tell you what we're going to be reading this week so that as we go into our Wednesday Bible study next week, you'll know exactly where we are and you can be studied up for that. So this week, I'm going to ask you to spend some time in study in the book of Acts chapter 4. That's Acts chapter 4. And next week, we're going to talk about plugging into the power out of the book of Acts chapter 4, verses 31 to 33. So read up on that, and we'd love to have you join us for our Wednesday Bible study next week at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. On this broadcast channel of our Facebook page, and then it also appears on our private Facebook page as well as YouTube. I believe it appears on YouTube as well. So at any rate, let me have a word of prayer with you, and then we'll close out our time together around God's Word today. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You now, again, we ask and pray that You would help us as we encounter the vipers on a daily basis. Lord, we know that Satan tries to discourage us. Lord, we know that Satan tries to criticize us. And Lord, in doing so, what happens is we often lower our expectations. Not only do we lower ours, but the people around us lower their expectations of You. And Lord, we don't want that. We want to be children that represent You well. So I pray that You will help us, just like Paul, to shake those vipers off, not to worry about the poison that's out there, but to claim the word that You're going to safely protect us through the journey that You've asked us to go on. So, Lord, I pray You'll give us a great week. I pray that we will be true examples of who You are as we live our everyday life, that because of the way we live, people will see a difference in us and they'll want that. And then, Lord, I pray You'll give us the courage to tell them that the difference is Jesus Christ within our lives. So, Lord, right now, give us a great rest of this week. Help us to look for the opportunities around us to be of service to You in the hearts, in the minds,